thanks for choosing GoldSeek.com Radio as a trusted business and investing news source.
Well, it's just a real pleasure to be back with you today, GoldSeek Radio. We are live today with Andrew McGuire, as well as Thomas Coughlin from Kinesis. And we're going to begin the discussion a little impromptu with Andrew McGuire, who has been very heavily involved in the gold crowd for decades. Welcome back, gentlemen.
Pleasure to be with you, Chris.
Back, Chris.
Andrew, why don't we begin today? And Thomas Coughlin, if you'd like to jump in, please feel free at any time. And of course, the big story on everyone's mind for gold aficionados, the remarkable rally we've seen in the pretty explosive. And I understand that there might be some shenanigans going on behind the scenes. Tell us more, Andrew McGuire.
Yeah, Chris, I think the question that I get most of all, especially being in exposed to the wholesale market, is, well, hang on a minute. We've got a wholesale market that's lagging a paper price. And as we know, Chris, we've seen overshoots to the down, usually to the downside. I think it hasn't been since 2010 that we've seen a paper market overshoot to the upside. When I say an overshoot, I'm not talking about the real value of gold. Obviously, I'm talking about the lagging wholesale price because we've been in a six-year bear market. So really what I answer to most people is that they're very concerned about, they look at the COT structure. We all know what the COT report is. It comes through every Friday. What I will say about it is there is no excuse for that. It's electronically gathered data. TOCOM used to publish their end-of-day data years and years until we exposed that, and then they suddenly stopped. But so essentially, we get a Friday report that is in a picosecond world that is really dated 3 days earlier. But for what that's worth, people look at it, they mither over it, especially when we see huge amount of managed money guys sitting there on the long side of what is, we know that the market-making bullion banks are sitting on the other side of that trade. You know, there's a long to every short, but the problem with that is that we all know there's a concentration of position when it sits in the hands of the commercials. And so, well, as we have a diverse group of managed money that's basically these ETAs, they're actually chasing the stocks, maybe they're hedging it with COMEX gold. But essentially, what's happening is that the ability to wash and rinse when you hold a concentration of position is very, very easy to do because there's just two or three market-making banks that can really sit and trigger wash and rinse cycle. So in a nutshell, people are concerned looking at the plain vanilla data. But really, what we're seeing is the evidencing signs of these commercials actually blinking first, which is very unusual. And given that we're quite certain that commercials are actually hedged, now when I say hedged, I put that in inverted commas, they're hedged paper to paper in London against these COMEX positions. It simply means squaring off COMEX short lots and placing them higher. So really, this in turn really raises the physical offer to sell bullion. Therefore, we're establishing a higher support price very, very slowly. Now, this is a stair-step process. And with the wholesale market not fully participating in the paper-driven ramp, we have to expect some healthy consolidations. But from here on, these are going to be shallow. Now, given this physical migration comes in sync with a six-year 2013 trendline resistance being violated to the upside, the market-making insiders are pricing options far more expensively in anticipation of a significant move higher. Now, last week's bullish close was another, again, we're looking at monthly closes now, but successively four monthly closes in gold, successively more positive, and three monthly closes, monthly closes in silver. That is influencing where a wholesaler is going to price their bullion for sale. Now, so the opposing bullish effect that we're witnessing into such a bearish COT structure, especially in regard to GC, and GC being the proxy for gold, obviously, is because of large swathes of bullion outflowing from the LBMA vaults. And by default, bullion leaving the control of the LBMA insiders has the effect of sucking out critical lifeblood paper market liquidity, which in turn is locking out large COMEX short bets from short cover. It's that simple. Chris. So obviously, short term, and most people are listening to this will be saying, yeah, hang on, we've got trade currency war volatility going on. That's going to power the high frequency guys, trading bots. And of course, we've got non-farm payrolls on Friday to wade through. But clearly, upside technical damage has been inflicted. And we're seeing a structural change in behavior that will see dips being used as short cover. But one of the things you just alluded to, which I know we'd mentioned earlier, was that there's something else going on under the radar here. Now, you know, obviously, your listeners are very sophisticated. And given that both GC and SI, obviously gold and SI, are proxies for the underlying bullion, given they've broken out of multi-year bearish technical resistance and the underlying physical market is no longer in the insider's control, even more importantly, what's happening here is that regulatory scrutiny is making it unprofitable for market-making bully banks to populate this space. Now, the old levers to control the price through the dark operations are one by one being removed. Now, there's billions of dollars of fines about to roll downhill just on the JP Morgan admissions alone. And although the CFTC has put its nib in on the reason, and the reason really the DOJ is delaying ruling on this most recent John Edmonds JP Morgan admissions, is because they lead right to the top of the chain. So what we're seeing, what we've been witnessing, really is an exodus of bullion banks withdrawing from the price-setting LBMA cable. And it's all about the realization that regulatory transparency is irreversible, and quite frankly, unless you can control the game, plain vanilla bullion banking is simply not profitable. Now, Societe Generale is the most recent market-making bullion bank to resign, and this won't be the last as more of these banks move into the center of the regulator's crosshairs. Now, this is the really interesting thing. Last month, we managed to get the UK Parliament and the Treasury Department of the UK to publicly answer questions on gold and silver market manipulation. And this was followed by a meeting with the UK regulators. And now, after laying out evidence that these two big-to-fail taxpayer-insured UK banks, bear in mind these guys are now thought they were insulated, based upon the responses in Parliament, they thought they were insulated and that this was siloed to the US, we opened their eyes to the fact that these banks in the UK are also liable to be fined billions of dollars by the DOJ, and even worse, exposed to massive class action lawsuits. Now, the Financial Conduct Authority, who is answerable to Parliament, is heading the investigation. And we met with their heads and with the Treasury Department. And I can guarantee you, Chris, that there was some very, very, very astonished looks when they realized that what happens on a U.S. server, when it happens on a U.K. server, actually libels everything that's going on in the UK. Now, the majority of the investigators, we'd have to say this, they're working for the CFTC and the FC, are actually straight-up policemen. And a lot of people have doubts about the regulators, but within them, there are some very straight-up people. And it will not sit well if charges are not brought at the highest levels. But, you know, we have to not kid ourselves. We expect lots of deals will get done, and anyone close to board level will escape any charges. However, all of this aside, our real objective here is to make it as unattractive as possible for bullion banks to operate under an increasingly difficult regulatory environment. And that's just the only way to win this battle. And the fact that market manipulation questions were raised in Parliament makes it impossible to sweep them under the carpet. Now, you know, this public exposure has caused the LBMA and officials a major headache which cannot be put back in the bag. And following us challenging the Treasury's response, which erroneously suggested that this market manipulation activity was siloed to the US, we provided proof of the mechanisms that connect the US and the UK markets. So really, you know, basically, with a major market management lever about to be removed, Chris, the paper market liquidity is about to take a major hit. And for this reason, we need to look at questions about a price reset to be conducted in such a way that will enable derivatives to be squared without a default. Now, many believe this could take several years. However, we see this happening in 2019, the reason I'm so excited about this, talking about a reset, the upcoming launch of the Kinesis monetary system, this month is a global monetary reset in its own right. And why is that? Because it's the only gold and silver-backed currency that defeats Gresham's law. And, you know, we know there are, and it's very helpful to see 60 gold-backed solutions on the market, but Chris, none of them solve Gresham's law. And I know most of your listeners will know what Gresham's law is. It's the fundamental law of money, which is basically bad money will drive out good money. Now, I know that we've got Tom here, and I'm so excited that he's able to be with us today, because Tom is the CEO, he's the genius behind this whole concept, and it's the unusual ability to be able to put not only a genius plan together, but to also commercialize it. And this is why I think at this moment, I'd just like to hand this over to Tom.
Thank you very much, Andy, and be careful with so many compliments that you might get in my head at some point. But it's been a little while since I think we both spoke to your audience, Chris, and it's a great honor to be back, and hopefully we can keep on talking as we sort of move forward now with Kinesis, and also obviously with market updates, and also we're obviously all driving towards, which is a much fairer marketplace, whereby we can actually, you know, see a price which is a reference point for true market demand of physical product around the world. A real market providing real world solutions. And that's ultimately a large part of our journey with both ABX and Kinesis. And, you know, these two systems have really sort of fed into each other, and one has led to the next. Obviously, ABX with the global spot physical exchange for precious metals has then led into the development of the Kinesis monetary system. And what Andy sort of said towards the end is so incredibly true, actually. Obviously, you know, I guess I'm sort of, you know, preaching to the choir here as far as, you know, telling your audience that obviously, you know, gold and silver are the real sort of universal currencies out there. You know, they are obviously, the gold is the most effective store of value the world's ever seen. The only money that has, you know, survived the true test of time over thousands of years. So, and that's a key ingredient into what makes money successful and sustainable, it being an effective store of value. And then obviously it needs, you know, money needs to be an efficient medium of exchange whereby we can efficiently transact in it. And it will serve the purpose of commerce of the world and being able to transact with it. But, and that pertains purely to really just money and the exchange of it. But when you have an environment or an economy where there's two competing forms of money, right? So in the case of the world at the moment, each nation has their own legal tender. That's legally mandated money that we pay our taxes in, that our goods and services are priced in. Very difficult to introduce a new competing form of money, even a complementary form of money, that actually will be used for transactional purposes. And you'll see cryptocurrencies, you'll even see gold-backed currencies, etc. I don't have any confidence in any of them that actually be truly used to be fueling the commerce of the world, because, as Andy said, none of them solve Gresham's law. And this is a real systemic issue that needs to be solved. So, as Andy said, Gresham's law is bad money drives out good. It sounds a little bit abstract, right? But what it means is when you have two forms of currency in one environment or one economy, then you're going to actually transact in the one that you value less. And this can happen even at the subconscious level. It's very psychological. If you give someone $100 of gold and put it in their hand, and then you give someone $100 bill and put it in their hand, subconsciously, they will value the gold more. And when it comes time for paying for something, they will hand over the US $100 bill. Whether they really appreciate gold or not, it happens at the subconscious level, whereby they view it as something more valuable. And that's where you find currency, such as, you know, the hard asset currency of gold, something, you know, that I think is universally valued for all of its properties, is hoarded. And it's hard to put it into motion. And this is where our name comes from, kinesis, which means movement in Greece. It's been used since ancient times. It means movement. It's hard to get it into motion. So we've put together a system which really stimulates the movement and velocity of money, whereby in a system whereby there's two currencies, and we're fighting against legal tender, then the only logical and rational choice is to use our currency. Why? Because the more you actually spend and use our currency, the more money you make, and that's money forever. So our system keeps track of all expenditure within the system, and the more you actually use our currency, then every month, the higher the yield is. The higher money, more money comes back into your account, into your wallet, within the blockchain. So, I know it's like a little bit difficult to sort of understand, but what we are is a collective sharing of wealth. So, where a bank charges you bank fees, they charge you and they, you know, take the fees and put it in their pocket, goes onto their balance sheet. But what we do in our blockchain system is we pull together all the fees during the month, and then at the end of the month, we divide it up with all the different users. You know, we've got holders, we've got minters, which is people who actually create the currency. We've got depositors, we've got referrers. Anyone can make money in an organic way through our system. And they make money simply by using money. And it's just a system of like collective wealth, and we share in the success all together. That's sort of really where we are, but let me just sort of explain sort of where we are from a developmental perspective. We're now 3 days out from launch, so we're launching on the 9th. So I'm not sure when this interview will be posted up, but we're launching on Monday the 9th.
And let's just quickly give a basic analogy, a parallel with Gresham's Law. Okay, we've all heard bad money drives out good. What does that really mean, you know, for the everyday listener? And go back in time to the 1970s here in the States, North America, since the 1970s, where inflation was rampant. And of course, there was bad money. The money was beginning to lose its connection to any type of soundness and backing. But we still had silver, dimes, quarters, half dollars, and dollars in circulation in North America. Can't speak for the rest of the world. That remained the case for over 4 decades. But slowly over time, bad money that Andrew and Thomas have referred to here drove out those silver coins, 40% and 90% silver backing within them, okay, for the copper sandwiches we refer to today. That is just one basic example that we're all dealing with. Fast forward almost half a century later, and the inflation genie is really out of the bottle. Purchasing power has collapsed around the world. Tell us about your lifeboats here, gentlemen.
Yeah, certainly. So, you know, as we all know, in the 70s, 71, no, yeah, 71, I believe it was that it started. Nixon started, you know, pulling up off the gold window, the gold standard, the Bretton Woods system. And from there, as soon as he did that, then obviously, they said the central bankers absolute and free right and control to print money out of control. And with that, yes, as you said, purchasing power collapsed with currencies around the world. And basically, the entire global monetary system that was put together after World War II in Bretton basically got completely reformed to be complete nonsense. Just a paper-based system backed on nothing, just backed on debt. And we handed over full financial control to the central bankers, which is a little bit sad because now they really rule the world. What you have with us is a full, you know, one-to-one, 100% physically backed system where, you know, every single gram, ounce of gold and silver is backed by a corresponding currency, where you can take physical delivery at any point in time in, you know, multiple vaults spread across the world. The thing is, we don't think that's enough. Yes, we have an effective store of value. We have an efficient medium exchange, which is, you know, in the digital era, it's the latest and greatest using blockchain technology, where it's like a decentralized environment where we can cut out intermediaries and, you know, break down borders and boundaries and connect with each other all over the world. And we're not having to operate in a centralized environment here. So we can use blockchain. That's great. But the next step is this, Gresham's law. Okay, I'm competing up against legal tender, which unfortunately is paper, and I have to pay my taxes in it, and I have to pay for goods and services in it. So basically, we've created an entire system which gets around it. So, you know, you can basically do your full banking through our system. We have mobile banking facilities. You can utilize a gold and silver backed monetary system. It's tied to debit cards. We have like little hardware devices, which, you know, keeps your currency completely in an offline environment and completely safe. It can be in fully insured custody storage, like 100%. You have $100 million, for example, if you're a fund, you can store it in our custody solution. Whereas, you know, obviously, central banks only insure up to certain limits, which the citizens of places like Cyprus are very acutely aware of how limiting those limits are. How limiting things like bail-ins and everything like that are, and how the theft of, you know, the people's wealth from around the world is happening on a day-to-day basis. So we're trying to combat all of these problems, and guess what? We're actually doing quite well, and we're still, okay, we haven't launched. We're 3 days away from launching, but we have not yet launched. We've got multiple government deals around the world. Not in first world countries, not in the developed world, but in the countries that might even be large, but, you know, they feel a degree of oppression by perhaps, you know, the big powers of the world. Places like Indonesia, with a population of 270 million people, most are actually, you know, they've also got a large unbanked and underbanked population. So we help them sort of come into the financial world, have financial identity. Obviously, bring a lot of efficiencies. We've got these deals going. So, say, for example, in Indonesia, and also it's expanding rapidly, but I can talk about Indonesia now. We've got, like, a deal with the post office there. But the post office is, you know, the cornerstone of the payment and even banking industry in Indonesia. Because, you know, you want to pay your utility bills. You want to send money abroad. You have to use the post office. The post office acts as agent for the likes of Western Union, and Western Union charges extortionate fees to, you know, send money abroad or to, you know, receive money there. So, you know, envisage a network of post offices around the world, interfaced into, say, the Kinesis system. Then you start to envisage even a new kind of banking system that's outside of the banking system. For example, it's called PT Post, the Indonesian Post Office. They have 58,500 branches. That's like doing a deal with a bank of 58,500 branches. And so, you know, these physical locations that people can take their physical cash and actually, you know, do their day-to-day banking. And then once they're in the system, then they're all interfacing to everything. So, and they're all rewarded for their participation in the system. This is sort of where we are. We're putting together what we've sort of dubbed a super ecosystem, which involves, you know, ultimately institutional partners from around the world, with government-owned entities in there, even exchanges, traditional-type exchanges. It's just a very exciting place to be at this point in time, and we provide value at all levels of society, governmental, institutional, but also retail. And retail is a big primary focus for us in providing supreme value.
There are dilution issues typically with almost any monetary system. I mean, I think this is what Andrew and Thomas have both alluded to here today. And I'd like to give you both an opportunity, or either of you, to outline just how the Kinesis system takes care of any worries that people might have about the dilution of their precious metals within the system.
As far as dilution, you're thinking that, you know, people's precious metals may be diluted in some possible way, then that is not possible within our system. Yeah, that's just simply not possible. Yeah, certainly for the sender who sends metal, there is a transaction fee associated with that, but that's just simply a matter of, okay, I've got, you know, say I'm sending 1 gram of gold, the recipient receives a little tiny fraction less than 1 gram just because there's been a transaction fee there. At the end of the day, that transaction fee just goes off to the transaction pool, all the metal's still in the system, ultimately, and nothing gets diluted.
What I was really referring to is we have a great guest on the show. He's been with us for over a decade. He's just a friend of the show, Nick Barishev over at Bullion Management Group in Canada. They, of course, are in the bullion storage business. And he says, if your bullion is not stored with the serial numbers on your books and their books, you don't own it. It's not yours. Can you help me, at least, and some of my listeners, alleviate that concern? I'm sure you've got a workaround.
I mean, holders of metal in our system, they hold allocated legal title to the metal at the end of the day. Now, you can't create a monetary system if you're just going to be trading in whole bars. I mean, that gives you a divisible unit of about $50,000 for about a kilo bar and for 5,000 for a 100 gram bar. So we need to obviously create a monetary system. We need divisible units of title. And so all we can do is ultimately we create the currency that will actually not be the users within our system. They go into what's called the Kinesis Mint, where they effectively act as their own central bank and mint currency. How do they mint currency? They buy bars of gold or silver, and then it gets emitted into our monetary system, and it goes into divisible units of title, and then sent. But whatever you own, you own. It doesn't sit on the balance sheet or books of anyone else. As I said, like, you can take legal title to it at any point in time, but you hold legal title to it. There'll be an inventory list always transparently disclosed at all points in time of all the bars within the system. We're even going to have, like, video cameras on all the bars in the system. But it's not possible for any rehypothecation or anything like that to occur. All you need to do is sort of look up our legal agreement and see how legal title is passed down ultimately to the ultimate beneficial owner. The metal within the system, and we build our own vaults as well, the metal within the system, it's just held in safekeeping. So it's not held by any sort of custodian. It's held in safekeeping on behalf of the ultimate beneficial owner, which is the user.
Do you feel comfortable outlining where the bars will be held? I mean, is there a specific Brinks, for instance? We use Brinks in Canada and North America.
Certainly. So the metal inventory management is managed by a company, which I'm also the CEO of, called Allocated Bullion Exchange, ABX.com. That's an exchange, an institutional exchange, with partnerships with Deutsche Börse, one of the largest exchanges in the world, you know, partnerships with a lot of different government entities, and some of the largest entities in the physical precious metal space. And we've got vaults spread across the world via partnerships with the likes of Loomis and Brinks, but also independent vaulting parties as well, who we found it actually provide a much better service than Loomis and Brinks. So, and we've partnered up with a Liechtenstein-based vaulting company, both for their vault in Liechtenstein, but we're actually at this point in time building a vault in Jakarta, in Indonesia, for example, the first purpose bullion, the bullion purpose-built vault in Indonesia, for example. So, yeah, our vaults are like Sydney, Singapore, Hong Kong, Dubai, London, Zurich, New York, Liechtenstein, and we're bringing online Jakarta as well. We're also hoping to do more and more partnership deals with independent vaults around the world because, I mean, the value proposition is phenomenal. There's no storage fees for our system. That means we pick up the storage bill of each individual investor. We can go and we'll say to an independent voting party, hey, if you help assist in bringing your clients into our system, we will pay their storage fee. Why? Because we have a transactional-based model. So we can cover the storage fees. It's fully insured. We've got actually some of the greatest insurance, the most comprehensive and extensive insurance on planet Earth, which even covers embezzlement and terrorism, which is very, very difficult to get. Some parties might say, oh, it's fully insured. But yeah, if you really dig down into the insurance documentation, there are those kind of exclusions. So we've got that extensive cover. So yeah, in addition to that, you know, look, obviously we liquefy that value of precious metal. So where someone, an investor might just be holding the metal, they can't use it for payment purposes. It's just burning a hole in their pocket. They have to pay storage fees every month. With us, there's no storage fees. There's a yield. So you actually receive a yield. And then we start to actually turn gold and silver into a mainstream asset class because suddenly the risk side covered and the return side covered. And this is what traditional investment managers actually look at, the risk to return metrics, the profile. And suddenly, you know, like, okay, we've got a yield attached to gold and silver. Now we can be compared to, you know, bonds, dividend yielding stocks, all sort of things. But, you know, it's a safe haven asset class.
We have negative interest rates around the world. We have a collapsing rate cycle here in North America, which will probably spread to the Eurozone soon and their colleagues around the world. So, I mean, they're actually talking about giving you a negative rate. That, of course, is increasing the appeal of the precious metals of gold, silver, and related shares to investors because, you know, the big argument is gold doesn't throw off any interest. And suddenly, in come Kinesis, and it says not only will we not charge you for the storage of the gold, but you're going to have a little yield.
Imagine a world where there was actually no taxes, and then we just lived in this society, an economy, where it was a collective sharing of wealth. And I actually imagine a world where that's actually possible, because I've seen what we're able to do now with the Kinesis system. So, for example, with the Kinesis system, you know, like a nation would be able to implement a transactional-based system which stimulates economic activity by actually rewarding like individual participation within such an economy or system. But also, we all share in the collective success of the system as well. The government will take a certain portion of the transaction fees out of the system, but everyone else takes a certain percentage of the transaction fees out of the system as well. We're incentivized to use the system, and the system is incentivized to organically grow by sucking in greater participation from all around the place, whether it be just through basically profit motive, whether it be through wanting to hold a stable sphere of value, or whether it just be through the value provided through everyday use of the system. How it sort of works, it's transactionally based with the sharing of the transactions. So, you know, the more money that is minted and then spent or sold, the more money you can actually make out of this. And I know it sounds like counterintuitive, but look us up and look up our documentation, you'll see the mechanics here and how it all works. But also you get a yield for holding it as well. Why? Because just by holding it entitles you to a share of the transactions out of the system. That's credited to your account every month. So this is really the way that it works, and blockchain technology has really facilitated this. So we're really entering into a new realm where central planners are going to have to understand that the tide is changing, you know, and the flood is coming. I don't think they can do much about it now. And we've got a lot of support and a lot of allies on our side. And hopefully, you know, we can be at the forefront spearheading this change.
You can see why I am so excited about this. You know, I've been, in the business 40-odd years. We've sustained an awful lot of, an awful lot of manipulations. If we've got global vaulting providers and asset managers able to eliminate vaulting fees for their clients, just think about this game changer. How is that going to affect supply and demand? Why would you hold an unallocated contract where the liability lays with a bank when you can have physical title? As you say, it doesn't sit on the balance sheet of Kinesis, doesn't sit on the balance sheet of ABX. This belongs to the client. It is their bullion. There's title to them. And literally, billions of dollars of physical gold and silver, is destined to enter the physical gold and silver market. So it's just simply to monetize the Kinesis currency, which is, and of course you've got ABX providing the nest. Tom talked about ABX. It's got a decade of provenance. It's not a startup. Kinesis has evolved from ABX. Kinesis could not exist without having had this infrastructure, this solid infrastructure. We're talking about insurances. We're talking about insurances that not even Brinks or Loomis have in many cases. You know, this is talking about terrorism insurance, talking about embezzlement insurance. Go and ask your local Loomis or Brinks if they have this in place for you. Silver, if it goes up to $30, $40 and is sitting in a grade 2 vault, it's no longer insured. Our vaults, especially our private vaults that we're building, all encompass grade 10 vaults, which will insure silver when it's at $50 or $100 an ounce. So really what we're talking about is a game changer. We turn the paper market on its head and literally eliminate any wish to even, why would you put the counterparty, your gold, take on the counterparty risk of a bank? You don't even know what their balance sheet is. And if you think about the other thing, we're talking about bail-ins, they're already in place. There's $14 trillion in negative yielding debt right now. Look, I have clients, we have clients in Switzerland. They're being charged 0.75% to actually have the privilege of lending their money to the bank. I mean, this is ludicrous. And yet, here's the thing, this is the key. You try and take more than 100,000 euros out a year, and you're going to run into problems. And the maximum cap, the cap is 200,000 euros. And yet, so if you're an asset manager, you're sitting there with 5 million in cash because you're a little worried about risk, what would you do? You'd go and take your physical cash and store it with us. Try and get it out. We're already seeing the elements of bail-ins already underway. You imagine if everyone wanted to take their physical notes and store them out of the system. Well, it wouldn't work, would it? So, you know what? This is why I'm excited, Chris. There's so many aspects to this. What it is, it puts the power of gold and silver, position concentration, back in the hands of us, the people. And really, we are our own central bank. And I want to thank Tom for this creation. And obviously, there's a massive team now that is putting this together. So obviously, kudos to the entire team. But I'm proud to be associated.
Thomas Coughlin, I wonder if you might give us your three-year outlook. How do you see this evolving over the next few years?
If your users were to go to our website, which is kinesis.money, or www.kinesis.money, kinesis.money, then you'll see that, yeah, we're coming to a finale on our what we call the Kinesis Velocity Token, which was selling off 20% of the revenue within the system, and so it's basically buying into a proportional share of 20% of the revenue. We've done supremely well on that offering, now having sold, I believe, $193 million worth of tokens there, and that's effectively, you know, an investment into the system. So in 3 days' time, yeah, that's wrapping up and coming to an end. And then we're going into the first phase launch of that system, the monetary system on Monday. And inside of that, there's an exchange, there's payment facilities, banking facilities, and the like. We'd certainly invite your users to sign up and, you know, have a look around at least. And from there, actually, we also have a simultaneous offer going, which is called our initial minting offer, IMO, whereby we invite any investor into Gold or any user of our system to start basically becoming their central bank, their own central bank, and minting their own currency. So you can mint into Gold currency or silver currency by going to what we call the Kinesis Mint, which is another sort of platform which is linked up to the main monetary system. And whatever you buy on gold and silver there, or you can also do what we call an exchange physical for digital EPD, where it's like a slot between the physical and the ABX exchange to the mint. I know it's getting a little bit technical, sorry, but that's effectively what can happen. So you can deposit metal into the system and turn it into currency as well. That we're on track to throw out the number right now. We're getting our final insurances in place, what we've been talking about, which we're really excited about, with the embezzlement and the terrorism insurance in place. Once that's in place, we're bringing online in the vicinity of $600 million in gold and silver minting into that. And we're going to have a really good little start to our system. A great little capital raise. We're going to have a lot of metal flowing into our system and a lot of users as well. We're actually integrating with a number of other big sort of user networks around the world, which I don't even know where to start there, but there'll be millions of users coming into this system.
I think there's a lot of buzz around the Kinesis concept, one-to-one allocated physical gold on this currency. Add in the lack of storage fees and yield-bearing. This is quite a concept, and you know we're all watching very closely. Can't wait to get an update following your big event in the next few days.
Kinesis Blueprint version 10. Have the PDF file, of course, linkable on all of the GoldSeek web pages. This is a document definitely worth reading and sharing.
Please contact us either via our website. We'll have like a contact form there, or you'll find our email addresses there as well. As I said, download the blueprint document, have a look over our website. If you want to know any information about ABX, visit our website at abx.com. Plenty of information on there about what we do. We have our press releases out there with our major deals and everything like that. Yeah, please look us up.
The application forms for the Velocity token are on the website.
All right. Keep us updated on all your progress with Kinesis.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks a lot, Chris.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.